I love microdosing.
I love microdosing.
Yesterday, I needed to go practice my drums, and I popped a little microdose gummy, and I'll tell you what happened. I drummed for about a good 2 hours.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
I was looking at our new roof, hoping that it wasn't going to leak, and I got some anxiety about it, so I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a gummy just to calm down so I can go to sleep and not worry about this. And I did, and I had a great night's sleep, and I woke up, and there was no leak.
I've noticed a change in you for a positive change.
I like to hear that.
Yeah. I feel like your mood is like very centered.
I'm sleeping much better.
Microdose gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just that right amount of good.
And you can get 30% off your first order, plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code PANTS. It's available nationwide. That's microdose.com, promo code PANTS for 30% off and free shipping.
Microdose.com, promo code PANTS.
You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord. And others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Here we go again. I looked on the list of how many episodes we had left, and it goes all the way up to 14.
Wow.
That makes no sense to me.
But the pilot was split in two.
Okay, still, that means it's 13, but didn't we just do 12? I remember the season being 12 episodes.
I recall back in the day, we would shoot about 13 episodes a season. I think there was one season we shot 12, and then that final season was only 8. But 13,
well, then it would make sense. 13,
used to be the magic number.
What a weird number.
Then.
I thought it was 12 this whole time.
That was the magic number back then.
Okay. And there's no rhyme or reason to that.
I mean, I don't have the intel. No. All I know is that now series are going 8 episodes a season, and
right,
you got to cram it all in. I lost track of the numbers only because of the pilot that got cut.
Oh, I understand.
Two.
Yeah, no, it's
that's kind of fucked
whole,
me up since day one. So,
time.
And I'm still not over it.
We know.
I know. You
but
know.
This was,
I make it abundantly clear.
This one. Okay. Do you want to say the name and do all that? I like when you do that part.
You like when I do that? Okay. So
I do. I enjoy it.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, I don't know what number this is. It is episode 10 or 11 on Hulu. And the episode is titled Liberally. It was written by Eileen Chaykin and directed by Mary Harron. And this was a big deal for me personally because Mary Harron did American Psycho, but more importantly, she directed I Shot Andy Warhol. And if you haven't seen it, it's a classic 90s indie film that they no longer make. And I was a huge fan of her, so I was excited to work with her. And I think she was friends. She was actually. Her and Guinevere Turner had a working relationship because Guinevere co-wrote American Psycho. And they just had that professional relationship, which is why I'm guessing we got Mary on first season.
That's a great guess.
Have you seen I Shot Andy Warhol?
You know what? I was going to interrupt you and tell you I hadn't. And then I was she's just going to go on a whole thing that why haven't you seen it? And I was like,
it is Lily Taylor at her finest. And Jared Harris plays Andy Warhol. And I know there's a bunch of renditions of Andy Warhol. Was it Jared Harris? Yes, it was Jared Harris. I think he's the best one.
Okay. I'll watch it because I love her.
It's problematic because, you know, then Stephen Dorff played Candy Darling and, you know, that's not right any longer. It's all about Lily Taylor. She plays Valerie Solanas, who shot Andy Warhol. It's a true story.
Right.
It's
okay.
Trippy.
Maybe I'll watch that this weekend. That sounds
watch
like a real...
it. It's a fucking classic. Anyway, that's why I was psyched she was doing the show.
So the original air date was March 21st, 2004. I enjoy those too. The dates.
So much time.
We open on our favorite thing, a cold open.
You love to talk about this. I give you the floor.
Well, this one, I was like, where are we going to go with porn?
Can I tell you what I thought? I thought it was the band Tattoo. I was like, oh, we got Tattoo.
Oh my God, I forgot about that band. I was like, I was just going, what?
Didn't you think that?
No, I forgot all about that band.
I see these two girls in school uniforms about to make out, and I'm like, oh shit, we got the band Tattoo.
Tattoo. That was their video, right?
Yes. They had that one hit, All the Things You Say, All the Things You Said Running Through My Head.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Kate. Wow. Good memory.
It was a real anthem for about 9 months. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then that was it. They were a one hit wonder, I think.
Right.
Much like a lot of bands, but you know.
Right. Right. But it is Tattoo. Not the band Tattoo. But it's not
the
band
not.
Tattoo.
It's two girls filming a porn scene where they're in the girls' bathroom in their school uniforms, like you said, and then the principal, quote unquote, walks in and gets upset with them and gets my a blowjob.
My favorite line in the whole, I think I heard this correctly, because I was like, oh great, another like porn scene between two girls, and then I just hear this director say, "Bring in the pussy light."
Yeah, did you get the pussy light? Do they make those, or would it just be a really like direct spotlight?
Real good throwback to Boogie Nights. It was like, and all the guys in the background, the crew, it's just another day.
Yeah, the guy on
them.
The toilet.
Yeah.
Listen to me. For me, I was like, this one, I have no idea where it's going. I mean, I haven't remembered anything about the show so far, but this one, I was like, I can't wait to see how they're going to thread this into the modern day women that are on the L Word. What's it going to be? Okay. Right. So we'll find out later.
Also, it says in the teaser, it also says last year. So it wasn't
San Fernando Valley.
But I think that has some sort of, right. But I think that last year date has some sort of significance to the reveal further on.
Oh, good one. Right. Because it's not from the 70s or 80s like they've been doing. Okay. Good one. Anyway, I caught that, but I didn't like rethink about it after it got revealed. Okay. Thank you.
That's why I'm here.
Okay, so then we're at Bette and Tina's house. Tina's whisking eggs, not really whisking them, just slowly stirring them.
Her hair looks
good.
She's
in a depression.
Don't you think?
Mine? Hers.
No, hers. Her hair looked good.
I thought you were just complimenting her.
I know she was sad, but her hair looked great.
I thought the same thing. That's so funny. I thought we should have all just had hair like that, where it wasn't, blown out and... I enjoy a girl with just regular messy hair. You know who does that really well? France. Like, who? Call my agent. France, the country.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, Call my agent. Everybody in that has just like tousled, beautiful, natural hair. Nobody's, you know, you can't gone to hair and makeup all morning.
The girl that can do, who can really pull that off effortlessly is Charlotte Gainsbourg.
Thank you. France. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Same thing, Kate.
It's the French
girls. French. Yeah, they're just great at it.
They are.
They look, well, it's just gorgeous, perfect, natural hair.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why I also enjoyed Tina's hair in that opening sequence.
Look great.
So there she was doing something with an egg, and then she sinks to the floor. She's depressed about her miscarriage. Bette walks in her power suit. And I was like, she better say something nice to her before she whisks off to work.
Bette seems like the kind of person who, at this moment in her story, I get the impression it's the last thing she wants to deal with. And she's just putting in the time to make it look like she cares, because what she's really focused on is this Faye Buckley drama that's happening at work.
Yes, but I have to disagree with you a little bit. I do think that really, really cares that she lost the baby. And I think...
I do and I don't.
No, but she doesn't have... No, she doesn't have the ability to get in touch with her feelings, as we learn later in the therapy scene. She just doesn't... She's not a woman who sits around and is like, I'm going to deal with my stuff. And I'm going to really dive into it and cry about it and apologize for it and... you know, self-reflect. She's just moving forward in life with her eyes on the prize. But I think she cares. I think she is hurt.
I think she cares, but I also think she's thinking, oh, this is a really inconvenient time for all this to be happening. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, then we see Jenny, who is being a creeper outside of Tim's house. And did Jenny sleep in the bushes?
Well, also tussled
What's
hair,
going on?
That's where you go too far to the other side. There's like a beautiful middle ground to tussled hair.
Does it not seem that Jenny slept in the bushes in the front yard?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Because I know she has access to the bathroom in the house.
She has not gone in there to brush her hair yet. This is pre-bathroom visit.
Right. Okay.
So she's outside looking disheveled and filthy.
What the big reveal is of this scene is that Tim is clearly moving on with his, you know, that he coaches.
Well, not student.
The student.
Yeah. What do you call it when you coach a...
I was going to ask you that. What is the name of that?
She's not a student, but he is a coach.
He's in the faculty. So, you know, he's probably having an inappropriate relationship that he probably would get in trouble
with
for.
With a student.
And it was Trish, I think, is the character's name. And he had... They had sniffed around that, I think, a few episodes ago.
We have seen this coming since the opening pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They have Trish giving a lot of jealousy. There's something.
The point of the scene is that Tim's moving on and he's not wasting time doing so.
Did you find it odd they had to pick a student, though? Because to me, I'm like, that's a scandal.
Like,
it could have just been a girl, you know?
It just tracks with his story. I mean, we don't see the guy doing much except stay in his house or go to his swim
right,
meets.
But then Jenny's whole reveal in this scene is that she's going to, call the college?
No, that's later on.
Okay.
No, that's later on. Because she's actually concerned for him, but we'll get to
that. Okay, sorry. Oh, this is where Jenny's just like, I'm heading to the market to get some
She gets caught.
Some eggs.
She was caught spying and she's feeling awkward. And, you know, Trish clearly has been, you know, brought up to speed with everything that happened between Tim and his girlfriend. And it's just.
She's like, get me out of here. Okay.
Yes.
Then we're in these two. Let's talk about it. Okay.
Listen, these two are really just, they belong on Dynasty.
Okay. So we're talking about Francesca and Marina.
Of course, I'm talking about Francesca and Marina.
I know. Better than anyone else. It's gotten very this sort of heightened Dynasty, you know, which I fully enjoy personally because I just love it. I can spoon feed myself this kind of drama all day long. So bring it on. Does it match the L word? I mean, does dive into that area sometimes.
It's too extreme.
It's too
I'm
much.
Fine with
but I love
listen,
it.
Listen, I'm down for the cultured European travel, well-traveled lesbians. That's great. They just take it to the extreme because everything's it's always bougie.
It's campy. I love camp.
Pretension.
So, I know,
but reveal is that Francesca has been paying for Marina's dream, which I assume is the coffee shop.
The planet.
And Marina is a kept woman.
Yes. But let me tell you this. Francesca is on the phone getting a call about a job offer in Virginia, mm-hmm. where she's going to go work for Drew Barrymore. This is a big deal. But she says, it's fashion week, Marina. And I was like, in Virginia? What the fuck? That made me laugh. That seems wrong. But hey,
you're right.
That's what
I'm saying. It's just really extreme. I mean, Leisha, we know a couple like very well-established costume designers. Am I correct? Like
correct.
We are friends with some that are very high up on the food chain in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, none of those women act like that.
No.
There's some of the coolest people you could know. And this one is acting like she just has, you know, money for days and can, you know, and just go on lavish trips when she feels like it and buy Marina her dream.
Yeah, I'm off to Virginia and then the south of France. And then,
Well, didn't she promise some?
I saw Marina's attitude has completely shifted in this episode where she's just a meek, quiet, scared, a little scared of Francesca, which is such a dynamic shift for this woman.
She's not in power. That's not that she is, like I said a minute ago, she's the kept woman.
So she's a kept woman, but you change personalities just because because you're a freeloader? I don't get it.
There's a power imbalance when Francesca comes back into town because reality
sets back in. There's a personality.
And then when Francesca leaves, it's like Marina can like be the person that she wants to be. And Jenny was, you know, didn't know any better. So she, you know, she drank it up. How would she know any different? So we're seeing a side of Marina. It's like, oh, you know, you.
No, I know. But even later in the coffee shop, when she's like nervously handing out, you know, muffins and coffee in front of Francesca and us, she's
well, I got
a different
issue with
person.
That. Well, I got issue with, agreed, but I have an issue with that scene as well. Do we want to
hold
off?
I'm jumping then. So let's dig into that.
I'm happy
when we
to
get
jump
there.
Into it because I want to talk about it. But just for
making
so
Francesca's
sense.
Like, look, I have a job in Virginia. Get out of my face. Pretty much. Because I pay for you.
Why are there only episode so far? Why is there lullaby music in between scenes?
Well, I found this to be a Liz Phair ripoff.
Yeah.
You know what we were talking about when people make a song sound like a song?
But that music was on the original because I had a flashback of it when I watched it yesterday.
Every time I see your face.
But that was how it was originally as well back in 2000.
Okay, well, they've done a bad rendition. So now it sounds like a lullaby. That's how
I don't understand why is my point. It's not.
Because it's not a great, it's not the real great song written by Liz Phair.
The lullaby creeped me out.
Maybe it's supposed to. Maybe it's supposed to put you on the edge of your seat.
It didn't do that. It just was like, okay. I don't get it.
Then we're in the salon. I fully enjoyed the scene. I got re-mad about you leaving your hair business for the last 8 years because I was like, here's a great scene. You're shampooing Dana's hair.
They really built up the hair thing first season. It starts to fade as every season goes on.
I'm just saying.
I enjoyed it too. It
said,
felt real.
Hold on. I need to get this off my chest. You always said that when you do hair, there's nothing interesting happening. And I have to disagree with you because I found the scene to be like three of the best friends got to hang around. You had an activity the entire time through the scenes. You know, Dana got to be like in the bowl and then with the things, and then I was off to the side playing with the bleach, and there was just we all had something to do, and
we talked about this
hair.
Last week, and I did not disagree with you. I was like, the beauty of it is that it gets characters out into the world
we've disagreed about this for the last 15 years.
The reason being is because after first season, we don't really get into the hair thing. It got dropped. That's not my fault.
I think you wanted to drop it. I didn't.
I just got used to never like having it always sort of be like a side thing to the character in the original series after the first season. Dana's getting her hair shamed. And I got to say, I don't think Shane did such a bad job on Dana's hair.
I disagree. And I was like,
thought
what
she
did
looked
you just do to
cute.
Her hair?
I thought
Erin,
she looked kind of cute.
It's impossible for her not to look pretty. So you're dealing with an incredible model right there. What you did to her hair, though, I didn't think was that great. It was borderline mullet. You'd give the same haircut to everybody.
That was the look in 2003.
But like, you had no range. That was the shame. It's like
that's what
the
made
Chris
hairdressers popular. You got
you create
a hairstyle and you lock in and then everyone's
like, I want that.
And then it becomes incredibly generic because of the mass market copycats.
Right. Yeah. And then all the hairdressers around the Midwest are like, how can I get
exactly
this hair or how can
extreme,
I give this haircut?
Yes.
To
and
my
then
people?
And then there are extreme iterations of it as it goes down, as time goes on, just to make it look a little different than the original. Anyway.
I just love Dana's a sporty, long-haired sporty dyke.
I didn't think Erin looked bad. I thought Dana looked kind of cute. She got into her gayness a little bit. I thought it worked. I wouldn't give her that haircut now, but she pulled it off.
I don't think she'd let you.
I think Shane could have done a lot worse, and she didn't.
Okay, so Alice is talking about getting railed by a man. You guys are grossed out.
Who are you? Who's Alice even sleeping with?
I believe it was the guy that was Dana's blind date last week.
Okay.
Yeah. The sort of like Tom Cruise-y looking guy.
And Alice thinks she might be pregnant.
Well, here's the thing. I said, I think I might be late. It's like, I didn't know. Who cares? Anyway.
Whatever. But point is that you're late. You think you could be pregnant. The end.
Right. And then Shane all of a sudden is like, oh, that's awesome. Why don't you have the baby and give it to Ben and Tina?
Okay, let's talk about this.
It's the most casual idea.
I understand what the writers were trying to convey, which is Shane thinks outside the box. She's generous. She cares about people's well-being. She sees things in an involved way that maybe not everyone else sees. She says so casually to Alice and Dana, oh, well, you know, you could have the baby and give it to Bette and Tina. And that's fine as an aside. Where I was starting to like get stumped by it was that it wasn't just an aside. It was an ongoing conversation these three kept having. And Shane genuinely took it seriously.
Well, so did we. It's not like anybody stopped to
say. I felt like Alice was sort of eye-rolling it, and Dana's like, I'll play along.
Yeah, I eye-rolled it, but like.
But Shane was like, no, I really think you could. And sure, of course you could. You could do anything. But it was a little, it stumped me after a moment, I have to say. And I didn't remember this at all.
It's ridiculous. Unless it's a very real conversation you have with your friends, like, hey, you know, I would love to do this for you. It would have to be something I or Alice wanted to do, not like something you bring up. And I'm like, huh, well, let's see where that goes.
Yeah. And I think even later on in a scene, Shane says, when she's relaying this information to Francesca, I think she even uses the word we. I was like, Shane, you're not a part of this. It's not. Where's the we?
At all. You're just the idea man, and then you walk away.
Exactly. Then I give people haircuts.
Ladies, we can all bond over this one. Imagine a bra that you actually want to wear. They're hard to find. We all know it. We've been through how many bra brands? Ugh. And you're like, I like this about it, but not this. Or they're just uncomfortable. Well, today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. It's real. Say goodbye to underwire and bulky fabrics that trap heat. Honeylove's bras feature supportive bonding that eliminates the need for underwire without sacrificing lift. It's cool. It's like these little, I can't even describe it, like these little bone things. And it's like, I don't know how they do it, but it's brilliant. Plus, they've made fabric that's so soft, it feels like second skin. So you immediately feel and see the difference. So it's next level comfortable.
Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. Honeylove.com/pants. Now, after you purchase, they ask you where you heard about them. Please, please support our show and tell them Pants sent you. Honeylove.com/pants. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
But I think it's important because I thought of this. I'm glad. And I've completely forgot about this episode. And I like that Alice thought she could be pregnant. I don't know how long that lasts. It could end after this episode, but it would have been interesting to explore maybe.
Yeah, I don't think that happened because we only have a couple left.
Right.
I don't think it was a whole am I pregnant arc.
But don't you think that would have been interesting just to.
Sure.
At the end of the day, you find out you're not the anxiety of an unwanted pregnancy, you know. And
yeah, who needs that?
Right. Especially for someone like Alice. I don't know. Anyway, it was just a thought.
Yeah. I think it was one of those L word things where it just disintegrates.
Disappears into the ether. Yeah.
Okay. So then we're at the CAC. Bette is with her coworkers watching a doctored video of her in it with her run in with Faye Buckley. They've edited it to sound like Bette is calling herself a perv.
And
it was a very doctored. It was a very, very doctored video. Like whoever did
like
that,
an obviously doctored video, but yeah, you know, back then it was scary. Plus, you know, the internet wasn't even around. So it was like, it was barely around. So it wouldn't even be like, Beth's like, oh my God, this is already out there. It's like, it was right. The fear of, are they going to release this?
Yeah.
But then Beth says, I'd love to debate Faye Buckley, which I was like, oh, it's like a little foreshadow of Gen Q, Beth and Gen Q last year. She was practicing her debate skills.
In terms of foreshadowing, you know, Shane learned from Tina to, you know, as soon as you have a miscarriage, fold all of the baby clothes that everyone has given you, even though you've only been pregnant for like 3 months, because that I was like, oh, that's where Shane got that idea from in the reboot, because Tina is folding all the baby clothes.
I had no idea what you were just talking about.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Like, oh. So we had a couple of Gen Q foreshadowing moments. Interesting.
I mean, Shane wasn't there for that scene, but she obviously heard about it and thought, you know. She remembers.
She's like, I remember Tina did this.
Yeah, I'm going to do that for Kiara. Maybe she won't notice.
Okay, so we're at this back at the salon. Sherry calls Shane.
Oh, no, let's get real. Sherry just rolls up into a Porsche and from like, sign me up. Like, super hot.
Yeah, I mean, that is hot. I was like, what's the Dukes of Hazzard entry into the car?
I love it. This is where you start to see Sherry as like, this, oh, she's not just this, you know, powerful Hollywood housewife. Like, she's got a wild side to her.
I'm talking about the way you got in the Porsche. Would that be something you would actually do to someone if they pulled up, or would you open the door? Because I was like, that was a choice.
If I was 24, I would have. Now, no, it would hurt my back.
I just don't know if it was the most respectful way to get in the Porsche, but you're right. You're an excited 24-year-old.
I got to say, I don't think Sherry Jaffe gave a shit.
She didn't. She was like, get in my car.
Mm-hmm. And here's the best. They go from Beverly Hills to what I assume is downtown in like a nanosecond.
Couldn't tell you.
Sherry's supersonic car. Like, boom. Like, right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were downtown because her husband, what's his name?
I don't know. But he owns the block. And so she wants to give Shane this salon.
Well, he's going to develop the block. And he's like, I want you to open.
Right. Right. So Sherry takes Shane into the salon. This was my favorite. I watched this with Anna and we died. She comes in and she's like, yeah, she's like showing the space. And it seems like a cool space. And Shane's like, yeah, I could put the things here and whatever. And Sherry suggests something. And Shane just goes, pool table.
When you said, thank you, because I wrote it down. I was like, wow, pool table. I paused. I turned around to my girlfriend. I was like, pool table?
It's like, she might as well say foosball. Like, is she going to, like, you know, double this as an arcade and bring in more business? Because, you know, it amazes me she went from this into, like, some hair mogul.
I find this to be a common thread with your character. Like, with these funny little things that you throw into your life. Like, it's borderline happens at your bar Dana's today.
Oh, with, like, karaoke
night. With, like, the poker and the
karaoke. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you need a thing. You need a theme. Shane needs
listen,
a theme.
Listen, Shane's business acumen must be spot on, and she knew something we didn't, because she's killing it in 2021, apparently.
Sure, but that was because of your product line, I believe, right?
Guess what? Clearly, someone loved the idea of a pool table in a salon, because look where it got her now. But I died laughing.
That would be the last salon I would want to go get my hair
cut. Ever. I would never go in there.
You know what? I'm going to go a little early today, get a game in before I get my highlights.
Yeah. You know, while I'm waiting for the the shampoo station to open up, I'll just play some 8-ball.
What if your clients walked in with their own pool sticks?
They might.
So excited.
Fucking, that just laid me out. Because I forgot all about this scene. So I didn't know what was going to come out of anyone's mouth.
Pool table.
Like, that's my contribution.
And then you talked about the shampoo station, but that was secondary.
Who cares? Like, I couldn't get
Who
off the pool table.
Who cares about shampooing?
Anyway, and then, you know, Sherry lures Shane back and she's sitting on this barber chair. It was kind of a cool shot, but I thought,
it was
damn,
a cool
Sherry,
shot.
Sherry must do some yoga, because I could never stretch my leg back.
Well,
like that.
Me either. But, you know, some women can do that. I could do it. I wouldn't feel that comfortable. But also, did you notice
an ongoing theme again with the thigh high stockings. It's a very big thing. I'm wondering if Eileen really likes thigh high stockings. So she's like, throw them in any sex scene we have.
No, I think the actors were like, Cynthia, our costume designer, said, what do you think of wearing thigh highs?
Well, they're sexy. Sure. No, they're exactly. Completely and utterly sexy. I just think it's interesting that whenever somebody's naked, there's a stocking. It's just that I'm just noticing things. That's all. There's a common thread. Okay, so to our favorite therapy office, Dan Foxworthy is giving another group therapy session. So I guess they've stuck with group therapy. They like it.
Maybe you can explain this to me, but yeah, I just found it a little strange that an experience Bette and Tina had that was so specific and intimate and private that you would be discussing this in group therapy. I mean, is that a thing? It could be a thing and, you know, fuck me for questioning it, but that would be the last place I would go.
Well, I think if you're in, look, I do not know the answer, but I think if you are in a group therapy thing for a year or so, whatever they've signed up for, you know, you gotta talk about your business. Why else are you in there?
But that's such a specific thing.
I know, but the specific things happen to everybody.
I don't get it, but I don't have to get it.
I don't like Dan Foxworthy. Again, I have to talk about it. He's a freaking douchebag. He upsets me. Mm. It's becoming like a problem for me. His hair. I was like, does he have? I don't know.
You know who I missed in therapy?
What?
I missed Yolanda. Where's Yolanda? I want to hear what Yolanda has to say.
We find out.
But she's not in therapy, and I was disappointed.
She probably felt ganged up on and was like, this sucks. I'm out of here. I don't feel better when I leave. I feel worse.
Well, no, because later on, Yolanda says like, oh, I decided to skip. Don't tell anyone or something. But I missed Yolanda in that moment. I don't really care what the guy had to say. I like Yolanda. But anyway, the reason I said earlier why I feel like Bette is totally disconnected is because someone says to Bette, they challenge her and they asked her, did she cry when that happened? And you can see the disconnect in Bette. And then the session ends and it cuts to them leaving. And Bette is immediately on the phone about Faye.
And she says, I don't need to cry. She answered, I don't need to cry.
But the point of what the way I interpreted this whole thing was that Bette and Tina, it's just proof these two are in completely different worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bette's sad, but Bette has, you know, more pressing things to deal with.
Well, I didn't like or don't like how the boundary crossing element of this group therapy is a major problem. So Oscar walks up to Tina and is like, listen, you need help. Like I told you, this is what you got to do. And like, where's Dan? Why is Oscar helping Tina and suggesting things that she might do to make herself feel better? It's all weird. It's a really weird group therapy session.
I just wanted Yolanda back.
Okay.
You know what shocked me? I didn't know Snoop Dogg had an arc on this show.
I didn't know he was going to be back for another one. I thought they must have shot that ahead of time when he was in that week. There's no way he flew back up for a scene.
No, they must have shot all of his stuff. You know, they've just packed it all in. But then we're at Kit's, you know, Kit is doing this performance at some lounge and Bette shows up to support her. And that's where Snoop is again. And that's where Bette runs into Yolanda. And Yolanda's like, yeah, I skipped it, whatever. And then in this, I forgot. Yolanda's
me
like, oh,
I'm with my ex.
Oh, this is my ex,
huge.
Candace.
I was like, Candace. Oh, that's how she showed up.
Yeah, completely forgot about it. And
me
there's
too.
A little moment.
When Candace sees Bette for the first time, it's like she got hit by a Mack truck. And was it her beauty?
Don't know.
Yolanda just acted like it was like, but it's like her jaw was on the floor. She didn't know what to do with herself. And I'm just imagining it's because Bette's so pretty.
I was thinking this venue they're in must be really small for Snoop to get up there and basically whisper a speech and everyone to mm-hmm. hear what he was saying.
Yeah, it was like a little speakeasy.
In a very, very small venue.
But those are cool. That could be great.
And I think this is the scene where the term baby sister got invented because baby sister is getting flown around in every other sentence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She thanks Bette for being there and dealing with her alcoholism.
you know, the extras in that scene who were part of that scene were dying that they got to be that close to Snoop.
It was a big day. It was a big day.
And Snoop is the culprit of Bette's downfall because Snoop is like, hey, I see something between you two. What's going on?
And she was like, what? And then she looks over and she looks at Candace's back and it was like, uh-oh.
Snoop.
And she didn't even get a good look at her face. She was just looking at her back and that was enough. That's how on the verge she is.
Yeah.
She's on the edge of that cliff and it was like, you just have to blow her with the back. The vision. Candace and Bette talk about the CAC and Candace is like, oh, I'm flipping a house down the street. And, you know, it's right there. I go by it every day. So on the way out of the club in front of Yolanda, Bette says, why don't you come by the CAC sometime when you're on lunch break?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, where's the, I'd be pulling a lot of faces if I was Yolanda.
Well, they're exes. They're just friends. They're not dating anymore.
Who cares? Oh, I don't. If I was in group therapy with Bette, and she pulled what she pulled in therapy. And then I see her at a club. We make nice. And then she does that on the way out the door? No. This woman has problems.
Really? Okay.
Kate.
I didn't really care. It didn't register to me. I was just happy to see Yolanda.
Okay. Well, you should feel a little more, you know, feelings for Yolanda. If you're so happy to see her.
I don't think Yolanda gave a shit. That was clearly her ex. And she's like, and we're friends. I mean, I'm friends with my exes. If someone I knew came and was like, hey, I'm interested in her, I'd be like, great, go for it.
Not if it was someone who treated you that way in therapy. I don't know.
But aren't they friends now? That didn't Bette and Yolanda kind make of. Up? If they didn't kiss and make up, then forget it. But I thought they did.
Yeah, they had a like, oh, you there. Remember that night?
Yeah, so in therapy. Was.
Okay. All right,
I'm not
going to
get
go.
Deep in it. Look, I'll be fully transparent. I may have zoned out a little bit during this scene,
okay.
But I didn't think Bette's come on was that intrusive for it.
Well,
to
it
be.
Was a lunch. It was a lunch swing by for lunch. But this is someone you barely met. And you're like, come by for lunch. I mean,
right.
For,
I clearly
for me
did
to make a lunch
out.
Date, it's, you know, I have to know him for more than 2 seconds.
OK, then we're back at the planet. And now this is what I wanted to talk about. What is happening with Marina and the planet? Two things. Did she fire people and they're just in the middle of a transition? Or is the planet having money problems? But but the staff is slow, but the place is packed. So these women are terrible at business. I don't get what the problem is.
So I think it was just a very out of the blue storyline to have Marina be broke.
Have conflict.
And dependent on Francesca. What that has to do with the slow staff, I'm not sure. I think we're supposed to see that Marina, so if the planet is her big dream, it's all, this is it. This is what she has. So if we watch it collapse, if there's like slow staff or bad coffee or a stale muffin, she might lose the business. So we have to see Marina in a vulnerable state.
All right. I think you're right. I think it was sort of...
To know that like Francesca holds all the cards here. Like she was trembling, bringing a cup of coffee to her.
I know,
table.
And I didn't get it. I'm like, your place is thriving. Like, and
also, she's brought us coffee before. She was like, I'm only doing this because my staff is slow.
That's why I asked, was there a transition and she fired people? It wasn't the most laid out explanation, but it's okay. The problem is Marina's not the same around Francesca. And that is the whole point of this scene, is to show the conflict. Although I found it slightly confusing.
And Marina wished she was in France the whole time too, which I was like,
Of course, the well-traveled European lesbians. That's all they want to do is travel to distant lands.
To France.
Yeah.
So Dana comes in with her new,
you know.
Yeah.
That's like their whole thing.
I mean, listen, sign me up. Dana comes in with her new haircut. Everyone, strangers, I guess, start catcalling her at the front door.
Why am I wearing an undershirt and nothing else?
It was Isn't that what you're wearing right now on this Zoom call?
Yeah, I am, but I'm also inside my house. Like, I'm not at a coffee shop.
The
like, she's just kicking back in her wife beater. And her
right
did you see the pants that Shane had on?
I can't.
Oh, they won.
I forgot to mention the bird's eye shot when you're seeing the Sherry Jaffe possible salon.
Oh, that outfit didn't bother me so much.
just your pants. It's like the bottom of a curtain. Just, yeah. It's like all just like splayed out over your boot right. at the bottom.
Hey, listen.
Okay, but we'll go into that later. Baby.
We all love the bootleg. Bootleg baby. I kind of miss him, I gotta say.
Did you see me with that pink shirt? What's all of a sudden I'm wearing like fluffy pink shirts in every episode.
Because you're being femmy because you think thing. You're pregnant.
Ugh,
I don't know. Your outfits didn't really trigger me, I don't believe. I'll see in my notes.
I just felt like I got in a rut since last episode of some sort of like sheer pink, you know, Pepto-Bismol pink shirts. Like it's like I can't wait for me to crawl out of that hole. Okay, so basically you reveal to Francesca that you think it'd be a great idea if I had
this is what I think is crazy is that we're still talking about yeah. this.
And I'm like,
really? Are we taking this really that seriously? Like, this is a real option.
Yeah, but I
it's a little, yeah, it's in a your little head, much. It's a little much.
It's a lot. Yeah. And then I don't know what else happened in the scene.
That's kind of it.
Oh, you said you'd pay for the food. But and then you think like a big moment.
And then you leave afterward or someone leaves.
Is it because you have Sherry? Like you also have a sugar mama?
Marina comes to sit down. It's obviously awkward at the table. All three of us sense it. I go to say, all right, I'm out. And I say, I'm going to cover this. I got everybody. And then you file out and then Dana files out in whatever order. And then the last person who files out thanks Francesca for the muffins. But hey, like... Shane paid for the muffins. What are you talking about?
Wait, then I tuned out. What was the muffin thing?
Yeah, it was a little... Who cares? It's the minutia. I'm getting in the weeds.
It's not interesting.
Shane.
We should go...
It was croissants.
We should go over it.
It was croissants.
Well, of course, because it's Francesca and Marina.
Should we go...
Yeah, but it's important because Marina made them because she was pissed because they're not going to France. And so it was passive aggressive.
Oh my God, I didn't put any of that together.
Wait,
right.
Melissa,
in the opening scene of those two, she was like, I really want to go away with you. We had a whole thing planned. I forgot about this. We had a whole vacation planned. And Francesca's like, I have to go to work, baby, if you want your dreams to stay alive. And so Marina's just really just like throwing a fit all day about France.
What a spoiled brat.
I mean.
I wanted to go to Antigua. I wanted to go to Monte Carlo.
I guess
promised.
I'll just bake my own croissants. Well, we don't live this life. What do we know? This might be an issue with really rich lesbians.
I don't know. This dynasty couple has got to go. I'm over both of them.
Okay. Well, anyway, you leave. You say, I'm going to go look at some properties with Sherry's husband, I guess.
Yeah.
We're like, awesome. Then you're at the mansion of Sherry Jaffe.
Okay.
Okay. I have a whole issue with this fucking storyline.
So do I. Let's
like,
see. If,
God
I
forbid. Mean,
you and me both. Let's see if we line up with it. So Sherry's husband's like, all right, let's go check out these spaces. Shane's like, okay, cool. We're gonna take the Jag. Okay, sounds great. Gets in the car. Hey, can you talk to my daughter? You know, she's whatever, I don't know what he's alluding to. I think what he's saying is, I think she could be gay. You're obviously gay. Can you, you know, have a gay talk with her? I don't know. That's kind of what I thought it was because I don't remember this.
I love a gay talk. Yeah.
But...
Say it, because it's so obvious.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the Shane stuff in one. I know because these scenes go back and forth. Because it goes from Shane to Tina to back to Shane. So I'm
just
going to
stick with Shane.
I'm going to stick with this narrative. Yeah.
We'll go all the way through to the lean under the tree. Go for it.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. So Shane clearly drove to the Jaffe residence to get into the Jag. She's asked to hang out with the daughter. She's like, all right, I guess I will. The daughter gets in the car.
Clea.
The daughter's going to get dropped. Clea is going to get dropped off somewhere on the way to downtown to look at this space. There's just a lot of hours in the L word day because then, you know, other scenes happen in between. And then the next time we see Shane is that she's in her truck driving back to the Jaffe residence to pick up Clea, to go play fucking miniature golf. And
miniature
Shane is acting
golf,
like
Kate.
Shane's acting like she's fucking Tiger Woods of fucking miniature golf. Hands down, she wins with the criminal track jacket.
It's and, the worst.
And I'm then like, you what have, the like, fuck is going on? And here's the best part. This is my favorite. We're under the tree and she's and Clea is like, so tell
you
me about
skipped
your,
over so many things.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was okay.
Okay. I'm gonna let you just get it off your chest.
Get this out because I was just like, my hands were in my head the whole time. And then they're under the tree and Clea says something about like, tell me about your mom or something. And Shane, and then she goes in to kiss her as if like, that's a romantic gesture. Tell me about your parents. Like you go to make your first move.
Yeah. Hey, I've used it.
It was a really
for sure.
You did. You did not.
No, it's a joke, Kate.
So anyway,
not. What?
It was such a, I don't understand the point of this. I know that they had to create some sort of like friction. I feel like in hindsight.
I have to say it right now.
It's
is
so
she
bad.
16?
I don't know. No,
it's important.
I don't know.
She can't be more than 16 or 17.
I don't think she's out of high school. No.
So weird. Okay. I'm sorry. Weird. The whole thing.
The whole
like,
thing
you're
is
supposed
weird.
To be like a mentor. Okay. But like, why the sexual twist?
Fucking the
And why did
golf.
Shane for a split second think that that might have been okay?
I don't think she did
that
think
makes
it
you
was
a completely
okay.
different character, huh?
She didn't think it was okay. She wasn't trying to put the moves on Clea.
No, but
aside from, you know, teaching her how to do three fucking bounces in a miniature gun. Fucking Arnold like, Palmer.
Let me put my arms around like, you.
Hey, let me show you the
and
technique.
Bounce. What?
Yeah. Arnold Palmer
okay, this
got
is
all
where
his
I
moves
like,
from me. It was absurd, but I don't think she was doing it in a sexual way. I think Clea interpreted it as okay. a sexual thing. Leisha, I didn't write the shit. I just had to do it
I
many
know.
Years ago, and I don't get it.
I was young. I needed the money.
I really, really wanted to watch this episode with you because I was dying alone.
It was all sorts of wrong. There was...
it was all wrong. All wrong.
And it was also like the dad kind of pawned... first of all, he already pawned his wife on you. Off on you. She was
no,
like,
he didn't. No, he didn't pawn the wife off. No, I disagree
He was like,
on that.
She feels sexy.
No. He didn't pawn
the wife
off. What
are you doing to her?
The wife thing is separate. He pawned the daughter off because he's basically saying,
for
I'm
sure
about to
did.
Change your world. So, you know, kick me a favor. And Shane's like, all right, I guess I have to. This is, I guess I have to.
Thank God you were wearing the criminal
I don't think
sweatshirt
it was sexual, though. I really don't think it was a sexual thing between from the Shane standpoint. I think it was a misunderstanding because I think I'm having a flashback that I think in another episode, Shane is like kind of pushing her away and the daughter then gets obsessive about her. But
yeah,
I just thought the whole thing was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, they could have set up the crush if she had a crush on Shane a little more. I needed a little more distance between your bodies maybe or something where I was like, separate.
Well, she kind of starts off as this snarky teenager and then she starts to warm up to Shane and then like warming up turns into like, oh, I'm getting a crush on this older
girl.
Yeah,
but you're like leaning into her under a tree. You guys are like, it's like there's a romantic
there's something
you know, feeling to the everything and it's not cool.
This was at the time in my career where I didn't stop to ask the questions of like, why are we sitting like this?
Right.
It's just like with you. It's like, why am I doing this? Like, I just thought, okay, well, it's on the script. Then there has to be a reason for it. And I'll go with it. I would have asked 20 different questions a Sunday now. But
of course. Okay.
Thank you for letting me get that out. It was driving me crazy. Okay, go ahead.
With pleasure. Okay, where are we next? So we've chunked all that together.
Tina's gone. Instead of falling inward, she's choosing to be.
Okay, we're back at the CAC. So we're back at the CAC. A board member has resigned because provocations is just really upsetting people left and right. They're quitting. They're dropping like Franklin and the lawyer run questions with Bette to see if she's going to be able to handle this Faye Buckley situation. Tina calls. Bette's like, hold on, everybody. It's Tina. I got to take this call. Good for her. She picks up. Tina's at the volunteer place. Okay. With Oscar. And she's like, Bet, you're not going to believe it.
I don't hear something about
it. I've got all the information on Faye Buckley.
I don't get this about this nonprofit. Is it an all-encompassing nonprofit? Because when Tina goes to apply for the job,
agency.
Well, no, it's like, hey, you know, she goes to the job and whoever that guy's name, what's his name?
Oscar.
Oscar. Okay. So Oscar's like, hey, we thought you'd be great in the LGBTQ thing. And Tina's like, actually, I'd rather work with kids. Sort of like choose your own category.
Uh-huh. First of all, it's not a job. She's volunteering. She's just trying to get her mind off.
Whatever. But my point is that is the nonprofit an all-encompassing nonprofit where they just, you know, anything
they
or
do
everything?
It all. I guess so. Wow. Yeah.
It's a pretty,
yeah.
It's a tall order.
Yeah. Oscar's really, he's steering the ship here, and they also have an FBI wing.
I found it a little convoluted. It's a crossover
it's
of too
so
many things.
It's so convoluted that they to have, I'm going to say it. Here's the reveal of the cold open. They have the porn box, The actual VHS tape of that scene we saw being shot in the cold open. It happens to be Faye Buckley's daughter. So exactly. Bed's over here at the CAC, like, I'm going to take this woman down. I'm going to work on my debate skills. And Tina calls from her new volunteer workplace and is like, Bet, I've solved the crime.
And then
get down here right away.
But wait, then Bet in her supersonic car gets from the CIC
and she's there,
to
she
wherever
is. Boom,
they are.
She walks in. Pop. She's like, ugh, she gives Tina like, what is it now, Tina, look? And then Tina's like, follow me. You're not going to believe what Oscar does here.
You agree.
So then
it's a wee bit convoluted. But my favorite thing in the whole episode was They showcased the palms.
Oh, I know.
Which
it
is
was so fun.
A lesbian landmark. It's the oldest lesbian bar in LA. It sadly shut down in what year was it? 2000?
I don't know. It was a sad moment.
Was it 2015?
So
it
did
really...
the Oxwood Inn. Oh, we lost a lot of bars.
Wait,
we
lost the Oxwood.
Yeah.
We lost the Oxwood?
I just drove by it the other day. It's an apartment building. Yeah, it closed down a couple of years ago. It's really sad. It's sad that these places can't survive.
Yeah, the Palms was right in West Hollywood on Santa Monica Boulevard. And
but they
I
actually
the
shot
Palms.
There. It was actually the Palms.
They did.
You could tell.
You know what was cool about the Palms is that it never changed.
I know. Basically, in the scene, they talk about the fact that the Palms is the oldest lesbian bar. Like, they could say it a lot of it, you know, which is
funny.
Yeah,
they give the exposition of the place, but it's...
Of the history of the Palms.
I respect a bar that just has always stayed true to what it was and never tried to keep up with the Joneses. Because all over West Hollywood, then these other, like, fancy places were popping up and the bright, shiny new thing would get people's attention. And the Palms were like, nope, we're good. We're here. We're a staple.
And Dana goes to have a drink. I guess Alice...
She has a single... I think it's a singles
well,
night.
Well, no. She said Alice was supposed to meet me, but she's with her boyfriend, which I found very rude of Alice.
Here's what I don't get as
Dana
well.
Alone.
Did Dana and Jenny, did they never meet before?
No, they've met. It's just Jenny happened to be showing up at the Palms herself that evening all by herself and acted like... She's like, I've never taken myself to a bar before. So they were both there alone. And then we cut to... the greatest scene ever, which is the uncomfortable sex scene of Dana and Jenny, which I enjoyed from front to back.
Why are we in Jenny's shed when we could have gone to Dana's corporate housing apartment? That's a lot nicer. Like, doesn't Dana have her own place?
I'm assuming Jenny was like, come back to my tool shed.
And Dana, knowing how uptight she is, she would probably say, actually, you know what? Come over to my apartment.
Oh, I see it. I see it completely opposite.
What's great is that then Jenny's like, I don't have anything. Would you like some juice?
Some juice, which she did not pour, by the way, unless it was like
she
a
did.
Clear,
it was a very, it was like she was gave like the remnants of the whatever was in the carton. So like
it was water.
It was like a quarter in a cup.
With
juice.
Two straws. I just liked how slowly they played the scene. And it was like, who's going to say the next word?
Aaron and Mia had a fucking blast. And you could tell that Aaron and Mia were like, let's try to make this as awkward as we possibly can.
Exactly.
Like from the straw, like from how they were sipping the straw. And I don't know how they got through this without laughing. I'm sure
there are a million outtakes.
The way Mia just like strips off her shirt and then lies backwards.
Uh-huh. Like, okay, now you do what you do. Is it? I mean... They've both had sex with girls and good sex, I guess, because they were both in love with who they were with.
that like you really can get together with someone that's that bad?
Yeah,
chemistry. Or you're like, I understand chemistry can be off, but where like it was like Jenny didn't know how to have sex at all.
I mean, look, it went a little far, but it was.
But it was fun and funny and a great day at work for them.
And you know what's interesting is that Erin is topless and gets in this position where at one point she winds up on all fours on top of Mia.
I know.
And I'm going to tell you, we both have experience. That is probably the most unflattering position for a topless woman to be in, except Erin Daniels.
Kate, are you sexualizing your friend right now?
I'm not sexualizing. I'm just like, it's a compliment. It's a straight up compliment.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nobody's hard to look at in this scene.
I
mean,
nobody.
You know what I mean?
And what's great about the scene is that they, after all of this rigmarole, they're just sitting there topless in silence, and they just decide maybe we should be friends.
Yeah.
And it's the best way to end it.
It's the best way to end it. And you know the audience is like, oh, phew.
Yeah, completely.
Okay, so we're back at the planet. Sherry comes in with a bunch of shopping bags. I was trying to catch the names of the bags. Like,
I remember
who was hot back then.
I remember they actually had the Sherry in the scene. Sherry shows up and she gives Shane a present, which is a Chrome Hearts bracelet. And at the time, Chrome Hearts was like the designer, right? Like now I don't think so any longer, but then it's like, you know, the bracelets with all the
gaudy, thousands of dollars,
chunky gold
bracelets.
With diamonds and like all this stuff.
No, silver. I think
silver
was
sorry.
The color.
They had silver with diamonds and it was this whole thing. I remember they actually had a Chrome Hearts bracelet, like it was the real thing. And they treated it like it was like Harry Winston, like it should have come with its own security guard. Because I remember we shot the scene when they brought the bracelet out, the prop girl stood there like security. Because, you know, what happens sometimes, like when you do photo shoots,
they're borrowing something.
When you do a photo shoot and you're wearing really, really expensive jewelry, that jewelry will come with its own security guard. And the moment you put that on, that security guard is on you, not because he's worried about you. He's worried about the jewelry. And it's like, it's an insurance thing. That's how it felt with this bracelet.
Hearts.
Because I'll never forget the prop girl standing there like 2 seconds away. And the moment they yelled cut, she would run over and rip it off my wrist and
take
it back.
And they flew back to Los Angeles with it in hand, probably.
But I had it for more than one episode. I remember that was like an ongoing thing.
Well, I remember a lot of lesbians had Chrome Heart bracelets back then. Like the chunkier the silver,
the
more highfalutin you were. You were like one of those.
At the time, I was like, oh, can I hang on to this? And no, absolutely not. Like, you know, it was crazy, the obsession they had over this Chrome Hearts bracelet.
Meanwhile, you could have gotten a knockoff and you could have kept it.
Yeah, I never understood that.
That's me just being frugal for Annie. So good for Jaffy. At the time, she picked what was a popular lesbian accessory and she got Shane the right thing.
This is one of the scenes where you're really starting to see how crazy Sherry can be.
Well, yeah, she said, if you try to break up with me, that would be a very bad decision.
Very bad thing to do. And then I think she grabs my hand and like sticks it in between her legs under the table, right? I think that's what it was. And then...
So she's like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
A bit.
She could be. Okay.
And then Shane says to her, you're crazy. And her response, which is the last line of the scene, is, you have no idea. So real foreshadowing to present day.
Right. And if you haven't seen Gen Q, tune into episode whatever that was where she just, I shouldn't spoil it. There might be people who haven't watched. Okay. So then we're at the Paramount lot. Bette and Tina are walking in, prepping for the big Faye Buckley debate that's going to be on a television show that's shot at Paramount. Tina's very supportive.
Tina really lives Bette's life. Have you noticed that? Really lives Bette's life.
I know. I think that was what we're supposed to think. They've got the VHS tape in hand.
Yeah, I'm glad Bette finally asks her, like, how she's feeling. And
said, hey, thanks for coming today.
And thanks her for like, hey, thanks for stepping up.
With all you're going through.
Yeah.
You're sad.
It was a bit delayed, but I'm glad she at least brought it up. And then she gets into the studio and there's Faye Buckley. And Faye Buckley is dangerous because everything she does is with a smile.
I really
and
like her voice.
That's the scariest. She's great.
I like her voice. I wish I had a cool voice like that. Where's I? I can't do it, but you know what I mean.
And Tim is now back in
the swimming pool.
Is swimming at Bettina's. Clearly, he's been given permission. And this is where Jenny's looking out for Tim, and Tim doesn't want to have it because Tim clearly is never going to forgive this poor girl.
Yeah, it's a lot of underage themes in this episode.
We're back to the cultured lesbians, and Francesca is packing.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I love this scene. Good.
And she says, Marina brings her a glass of wine, and Francesca, of course, has to ask, did you open the 97 mm-hmm. Brunello? And then Marina says something, and then she says, was that the Carpaccio or the Castello Giocondo?
Well, we need to know. We're dying Jesus to know Christ. As an audience.
Like, was that improvised? It's ridiculous.
No, that's a line. But, you know, we need to understand that this couple cares about these things, okay? What year is it? What region is it from? Before I put it to my lips.
Mm-hmm.
Francesca's being so shitty to Marina, who's like a whipped puppy dog at this point. And then out of the blue, Marina decides, because she's so mad about this Paris trip. Oh, Francesca says something like, why don't you worry about that you don't want this last vision. This to be my last vision of you when I'm picking who I'm going to take somewhere in Europe, who I can't remember where she mentioned.
Yeah.
And Marina takes her two glasses of 97, probably worth hundreds of dollars, and pours them into Francesca's suitcase. I thought that was great. I was like, what a move. What a move. I wonder if I was that mad at someone and I'm holding a glass of red wine, no matter what the price, it could be $2 Chuck. I don't care. Would I have the guts to pour it into their suitcase? I thought it was kind of great.
It was a good move, but I didn't care. And I only say that because I haven't been able to get really invested in Marina and her plight because
I could watch
didn't spend time with
I could watch
Marina.
A spin-off.
But what I'm saying is we didn't really get inside Marina's head. Like it was.
I would love to watch a show about Francesca and Marina and their world travels and all the women they sleep with along the way. And
do you want this to be a reality show? Like Marina and like on
no,
Discovery?
No, I want them to. I want them to come back and I want them to play these characters and I want to watch them travel the world.
Okay.
I would tune in.
All right.
But
I won't
sadly,
that
I
you.
Think we're coming to a close with these two.
I think this
Francesca
is the writer's
barely
way of
reacts.
Saying, this is the writer's way of saying, thank you, Francesca. That's it.
We've told the story.
Love Lolita Davidovich.
Love.
Love her. She's amazing. I wish there was a little more time maybe to have gotten into this and then I actually would have cared.
I thought you didn't care.
I wish there was maybe a little bit more. They just weren't playing this bougie thing all the time where you could kind of get into the minutia and then I'd care.
Mm, I love it.
But who cares?
Okay, so now we're back at the stage where the big debate's about to take place. Faye calls provocations pornography, which you're like, uh-oh, Faye, you shouldn't do that because she's got the videotape.
Low blows left and right.
But brings out the sex tape just so Faye can see it, which I thought was a very cool move. Like, mm-hmm. I've got this. I know you can see it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be classy and not say anything. And much like what Oscar said in his scene, he said, these people, they play dirty and we have to start playing dirty back or, you know, we get eaten alive. So you're watching this come to fruition on stage. And what does Faye do? She goes dirty. She goes dirty.
Well,
and she says that God took their baby away because it wasn't supposed to be happening. And
Bet shouldn't have brought up her child if she didn't think Faye was going to toss it right back in her face. Because someone warned her at the beginning.
She didn't bring up her child. She just held the videotape.
Exactly. But then Faye was like, you're bringing up my kid? I'm going to bring up the one you just lost. And
I disagree. She didn't. If she brought her up, I'd say, okay, touche. But
She knew where, Faye, when Bette held up that tape, Faye knew exactly where she was going with it. And since it was only a year, and this is why I said pay attention to that year, is because clearly this isn't, this is a very, very new, fresh wound.
Well, they showed her daughter on the streets.
Exactly. So it's current. This isn't something that she's been working through for the last 10, 15 years. This is very recent. And
fresh.
So Bette, you know, get your armor on. If you think Bette's, that Faye Buckley is going to sit back.
Well, she had
that.
A weapon in her hands and she didn't use it. But then Faye used hers, which was her
but
her mouth.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, her words.
That's what I'm saying.
It was harsh. It was harsh. And it felt really bad for Bette.
It's clearly Hallelujah was the original closing song when the show initially aired. I don't know if it was the Jeff Buckley cover or Leonard Cohen, but and the only reason I know that is because of the really bad fake Hallelujah song that they put in because they can't use the real one.
I wonder if that's a job of a composer, if there's an actual job out there to like do a version like this. I bet it is. I bet people are really good at it.
There is. It's called a sound-alike.
Interesting. Wow. Who knew there was a whole job?
If
anybody's looking for a career. Hey, I just want to say that was the end of that episode. I found it to be short. I was like, oh, it's over. Did you find that? I was like, oh, that was quick. It was a quickie.
I found it. Yeah, actually, you're right. I saw it felt quick. I felt like some things just didn't line up. It wasn't my favorite. I didn't hate it, though. I don't know. Some things...
Things were convenient. Girls were too young.
I mean, and I'm going to go back to the Sherry Jaffe thing for a second with this Clea character. I just want the Sherry Jaffe affair. Who cares about her kid? Like,
to throw the kid in.
They didn't. You're kind of getting in. It's just... That's what I'm saying. But that's an example of one of a few things that I noticed are just like not terribly, they weren't really like looked into and defined. So I was like, you know.
You know how you're supposed to be Yoda or like just the old wise one or the young wise one? You're also put in like a mentor position a lot in life because I think you're supposed to be all knowing that like you're supposed to shepherd these youngsters into like, here's how to do it, kid. And it was interesting. I was like, oh, they're doing it back then.
I guess
like Alice
right.
doesn't get those. She doesn't get people like, please show me the way because she's, you know, a mess herself.
I think they were just
something to put in your pipe and think about. Everybody,
maybe.
What was it called?
That was called liberally.
Liberally.
Liberally. Liberally. I have a hard time saying that word.
Liberally. Liberally.
Liberally.
Who knows?
Liberally.
Anyway, there's three more to go. One Ooh. Of which we'll be doing live on the internet for all to see.
On
we were just talking, should we get hair and makeup? Because boy, do we look like shit when we do these. We should step it up a little.
I don't think we look like shit. I'm looking
I'll
at
speak
you right
for
now.
Myself.
I don't think you look like shit at all.
Really? Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm not, and by the way, I wasn't saying you looked like shit.
Yeah,
I was
thanks
saying,
a lot. I don't
I
think
was
I look
saying
terrible right
maybe
now
for our live show, we should pull it together. Anyway, we're super excited. That's on October 7th.
At 6 p.m. West Coast time.
You can buy tickets at the Pants Pod Instagram page. There's a swipe up with a ticket link. And we'll see you there. And we'll also see you next week. Well, we won't see you. We'll hear you next week. You'll hear us next week.
We're not going to hear them, but you're going to hear us next week. So looking forward to it.
Thank you for listening to Pants, a podcast brought to you by Kate Menig and me, Leisha Haley. Produced by Melissa DeMonts. Please listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow Pants on Instagram at The Pants Pod. Theme song by Carolina Para of the band CSS. Graphics are by Love Fox.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.